I want to... One of the things that happens in this quote-unquote holiday season is that it causes you to be put in strange... It causes the world to be put in strange positions. Everybody tries to be nice, tries to do the right thing, tries to, you know, buy the right presents, tries to... And it's like, if you don't try, if you don't do it, then, oh my God, you're a weirdo, you're a communist.
This sermon's coming out way too late.
What?
You've already bought the right gift.
They won't be right, don't worry.
But I want you to, all of these silly holidays are, is it's just a, you know, it's Canaan, it's merchants, and it has nothing to do with anything of truth, but by custom it's become a thing, a family, whatever, and so you're all going to be put in weird positions. And Christ spoke of these kinds of weird positions in a weird way. And don't worry, just I don't want you to go try to get Bibles. Just listen. Well, let me see. I lost it. Okay. What think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, Likewise. And the second son answered and said, I go, sir, but he didn't go. Which of them of the two did well of his father? Then said they unto him, the first. Now, a whole lot of you have, you know, the world has big time differences with their relatives, their parents, their customs, their jobs, whatever. But you don't, you say, in effect, by your actions, that you're going into the vineyard. In other words, that you're going to participate in their activity in their vineyard. And because, but you really never do, and so you're like the one that says, I go into the vineyard, but you never go. Am I communicating with you? You've done it all your life. You've always, and again, holidays just crystallize it. You've all, I doubt if any of you have ever enjoyed Christmas. But you go through the motions and the activities with your families because you have told them by your persona that you're going with them into the vineyard. You never, and therefore the issues of your life are never taken care of. They're always in the gray area. And so you are as the son that says, I go into your arena, into your vineyard, but you never go. Now, the idea of saying, I go not, is mind-blowing. Now, from a spiritual standpoint, most of you have your relationships with God from your childhood because of the constraints and activities of society. You've said to God, or you've said somehow, I go into the vineyard. You don't really have enough courage to say, I go not. But everything in your life is a manifestation of this parable. If it's your work, you say, I go into your vineyard, but you really don't. If it's your families, especially at the holiday times, you say, I go into your vineyard, but you really don't. And all of those not doing it is simply a manifestation of what you've said to God. I go into your vineyard, but you don't. Now, it takes a great deal of courage to say, I go not. Now, since the holiday seasons are what we're sort of predicating this on, it takes an awesome amount of courage to say, I will not participate in this bullshit. And what you're doing is you're robbing your families by saying, I go, by saying, I go, but don't go. Do you understand? You go, but you're just present. You're acting. You're nice. You're playing the game. If you're not going, you're playing the game with regard to sending presents or sending the right thing or doing the right thing. I go not. It's not just Christmas. It's in every arena of your life. You walk without courage. So you become spiritual dorks. And the reason you can't say, I go not, is because you haven't had the courage to say, I go not to God. And so therefore, that simply everything else in your life is a manifestation of that cowardice. And you live in the grand gray areas of life. Now, the purpose of the holidays, if God has any purpose for them at all, is only for you now, this time, to see with clarity. To finally, once and for all, if that's where you are, I'm not telling you what to do, I'm just saying you have to be the one that knows. If you can't say, I go, and participate in that which you're about, then say, I go not. Because by the act of saying, I go not, you will precipitate more things than you ever dreamed of.
Or you end up going into that place that everyone wants it to be.
Right.
You, by saying, I'm not there, you enter into this vineyard that no one's able to approach even. That's the ideal that nobody gets to, that you get there by laying yourself openly.
And you only get there then by the same activity that's talked about here, the turning, the repenting. But most of you, those of you who I've known a long time, I know your relationships with your family. Most of the time, you live with your family in terms of your relationship to them by bribery. And you call it love. All that flattery is a form of bribery. And you flatter each other with your, not present, but your being there, presence. And you've never allowed, because you have kept those strings after the flesh to be manifest, to be there, you have never, and you're trying to swim in two swimming pools, you've never allowed the freedom to take place of simply saying, I go not into your vineyard. Now, most of you will hear this tonight and say, oh yeah, that's right. And then tomorrow or this Christmas, you will go into their vineyard and not be there. You'll say you'll go, but you won't be there. And so your boring lives will continue. And your boring little activities will continue. I go not into your vineyard. I don't care whether it's in relationship to your families, your jobs, your spouses, in any arena of your life. If you can't go into that vineyard as a full-fledged being, in other words, giving everything of you to that, then you're saying, I go, but you go not. And you're living a lie. And your little relationships are based on how good of a trickster you can become. How good of a hustler you are. You call it love. That's not love. Oh, do you understand I'm saying this about every arena of your life? If you can't say, I go into your vineyard and do it with everything in you, then you are nowhere. You've got the wrong garment on for every party that you've ever tried to go to. I mean, all that Christmas does is it crystallizes it. Because most of you, a lot of you, have gone out, you know, you've spent all kinds of money on presents for the kids. And I've been in several of your houses and you've got all kinds of little Christmas trees. And that's all right if you know what you're doing, but either do it with everything in you or don't do it. Don't play the lukewarm game anymore and call it love. Because everybody knows you're acting. Nobody is buying it, that your little things are love. Now, they will always and ever want you to act because it's easier on them. Sure. And it's easier on you. It's more comfortable. But if you say, I go not into your vineyard, then you give God an opportunity by His Spirit to turn and cause life to come forth out of what you have been living as death. Now most of you, you run around, now you're going to go spend family Christmas together. And you no more think of those people as your family than a man in a moon. I don't care whether you should think about them or not think about them, you don't think about them is the bottom line. Most of you hate your families already. The evidence that you hate them is that you withhold from them your being. So now this Christmas you're going to go be nice. You're saying you're going into their vineyard, but you're not. And you will be bored to death, and they will be bored. And you'll try everything to try to be nice, and try to have a quote-unquote good time for somebody's sake. But you'll be living a lie. They're living the same lie. Do you understand a little bit? I go not into your vineyard. Now, from this standpoint, from the spiritual, I don't want any of you in this vineyard anyway. I've been trying to get rid of you for 10 years. There's only one reason you've stayed, and that is because this is the vineyard you belong in, no matter what I did to try to get rid of you.
You did some terrible things.
Go ye not, I go not into your vineyard.
The thing I think about is working, where the especially in places where you know you have a sometimes different. Sometimes it's like a big produce. You know, in other places like where I work, it's the Baptist Standard Family. You know, it's Christmas time, we get around it.
You have James Plights come and talk to you. My name is Kerry.
And the only... I was thinking the way to not enter that is to say, you know, by the way, you know, we don't really have a Baptist Standard Family. You know, I mean, this is just an illusion. And then you can talk about what a real family. And at that point, you're giving something, and you've snuck in to this real family, where a real family is, there's an opportunity. Amen. For that to happen, or it may not, but at least you're in a place where it could.
Again, for most of you, this is going to connect with your parents. I couldn't talk to my mother until I no longer thought of her as my mother, but she was just a people. That's why Jesus was so hard on that, in that area. No man can come to me except he hate not his mother and his father and his brother and his sisters and his wife and his children, yea, and his own life also. It's not that God's out, you know, necessarily wants you to hate anybody. It's the idea that you, by the act of saying, I am not going into your vineyard, you then have an opportunity. And it's not, I mean, you understand every generation there's been a generation gap. Every generation has been unable to speak to their parents. But most of them just sort of either total rebellion and for no reason, they're just going to screw around, do drugs or something. Or else they just sort of hang around because they want their parents to pay for their education. But there's a point in time in which you're automatically not in their vineyard, but you say, oh, I'm in your vineyard, hallelujah. You don't say hallelujah, you say, oh, we got a good family here. Same things. But when you finally say, no, I'm going to turn my back on that, then reality can come forth. But it takes great courage. Because a lot of you, you know, you're still getting, you get the goodies. You get the bread, you get the strokes, you get, you know, whatever.
Wait a minute. You talk about this after you open the presents, right?
Right. It depends on how big a whore you are.
I just want to make sure.
Well, for you, yeah.
Get that right.
Prostitution isn't the world's oldest profession, it's the world's only profession.
Yeah, but you're getting incest in there, too.
But please, 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 I beg of you, don't go to someone's vineyard, and don't say you're going to someone's vineyard unless you're going to go. I don't care what you do. But if you're going to go to it, participate, be.
No matter what that means.
No matter what it costs you. That's what faith is. You know, otherwise you're going to live a lie. And it doesn't matter what the strings are. It It doesn't matter if the strings are $100 million or a piece of bread. God doesn't care about the, I mean, the issue is the same. It doesn't matter if you're living with your parents, or they're paying for your education, or are you, the, you know, they send you $20 on Thanksgiving. The issue is the same. I will not go into your vineyard. Well, why? Here's the reasons. Then there can be a dialogue and something real can take place in that environment, instead of the phony bullshit that you've been doing with your families all of your lives. It's just a reflection of what you're doing to God. Aren't you tired? I mean, again, the predicate for anybody in this group is supposed to be that you're tired of acting. Well, my God, you're the best actors I know of. And actresses. The reason is you know an alternative. And if you know the alternative and still continue on in the old way, you have to be an incredibly good actor or actress. The world doesn't have any, they're just bad actors and bad actresses. Well, I'm doing it for my kids' sake. Right. Oh, I'm just giving presents so the kids can... Right. Oh yeah, I'm going into your vineyard. I'll be there. And you never come. You just back away. You face them with a smile on your face, and you're just backing away all your life. Every once in a while, a little. Oh yeah, but you're never there. You just sort of looking at them, smiling, and they know something's wrong. You know something's wrong. But you never turn your back on it, so therefore it can't be dealt with. Now, you want to get really down? You've got to do the same thing with your spouses. I'm not going to play in that vineyard. I'm not going to work. I'm not going to that vineyard. Otherwise, your marriage is a lie. Your relationship is a lie if you're not married. You're living a lie. Aren't you tired of it? Happy holidays. Let's go out and
smoke cigarettes.
Sing carols.
What?
Smoke cigarettes.
What?
Let's go out. You said let's go out. I finished it with let's smoke cigarettes. So this is Christmas.
What think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, "Son, go to work today in my vineyard." And he answered and said, "I will not." But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, "Likewise." And he answered and said, "I go, sir." "Wait not." Which of the two did the will of the Father? Don't segment your lives. All of it is simply a reflection of what you're doing to the Father. It doesn't matter if it's even with your children, with your spouses, with your families, with your work. think on these things. Anybody have any response to, and I'm serious, I mean, are you upset?
I had a response to it.
Oh, yeah.
What you said, what you talked about, the participating, not really being here.
Yeah. See, that's all God requires of us. That's why he said, if I want you hot or cold, but since you're lukewarm. Man, whatever you do, just get out and do it with everything. Just stop being a coward. You don't have anything to be a coward about.
When we were talking about that, every year we have this big deal with my grandmother's, this big dumping gathering, and it's like we've discussed it. Vince and I discussed it. Doug's discussed it. We all discussed it. We're tired of discussing it, and we don't want to go. And we've called, and we've made so many excuses. It's ridiculous. And my grandmother's come back and talk about how she wants to see the kids and everything. And it's like I don't know. I don't want to miss it.
See, I say we kill the woman.
The idea of this isn't odious. I mean, the words are hard, obviously, but the fruit of that is a promise. The promise of that is love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, the desire of your heart fulfilled with no effort on your part. Instead of playing these bullshit games, we have to try to work it up. And if it didn't get up automatically, don't try to work it up.
Amen. Sometimes that works.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
No, I'm serious. That's what...
I want to write that down.
No, I mean, if the promise isn't there, if this isn't right, then you're wasting your time. We're all wasting our time.
This is Nick. This is what happened late, 3 weeks ago. And since this took place, you know, then I sat down and told him where I was coming from, there's been openness. I mean, it's nothing real deep, but there's still
a crack in the armor. Yeah.
And not only that, but I feel like in being with them now during Christmas, that I can, you know,
you can give. You can be there.
Help them see, which before I couldn't.
What was that scripture you were reading?
Matthew 21:28. Well, this that we are about to partake of, the bread and the wine, is simply a celebration of that efficacy. That love, you know, don't let your love. We were going to talk about what the meaning of love is, which is this is part of it. But love is a it's like, no matter where you're coming from, no matter what your particular background is, no matter how much of a badass you think you are, how much of a pussycat you think you are, whatever the particulars of your own background and your own personality, the love that is you're all looking for love. But not like we've experienced it. Not like, not the conditional stuff. Not the if I behave stuff. Not the. That's not that self-love anyway. I mean, there's a love that's available, that's true, that's enduring, that's lasting. But your heart has to be captured by the eternal. And your heart has been captured by the things that are temporal for all these years, and you've been playing in those vineyards. Trying to, and being, and little, and man, just stop. The promise of God is that your heart will be captured by the eternal. And then you can live in freedom and liberty in every arena, in every place, without regard. You can always be in the vineyard, because there's only one vineyard, wherever you are, and you're always giving totally to that, without playing in the little waiting pools. I mean, spiritually, that's all you've done. You've played in waiting pools so far. You're surrounding the big pool.
Now you can jump in the big people's pool. Get out of the waiting pool. Some of you haven't even gotten in the waiting pool yet.
Butch said there's too much pee in the waiting pool.
That's true. Butch would think that.
So you're the one.
You know what? Butch was singing a Christmas song after I got through talking. We took a break. He was saying, mine, that's roasting. I don't know. What?
Put the X back in Christmas.
But all of this is because of the thing that we celebrated by the bread and the wine, and that's the singular and only and exclusive covenant. And God, because of that covenant, as long as you just be you and you be honest, he's obligated to treat your own flesh as his flesh. And that's what this celebration of the bread and the wine is about. Can everybody take the bread and the wine?
I have a question. When was Christ actually born? Was it Rosh Hashanah?
Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah.
The thing you said about the reason all these things manifest themselves in all these arenas is because you don't do that with God. And a couple of things happened today of, you know, just thoughts in my mind like, you know, what, you know, you got to be crazy, you know, thinking this man that lived 2,000 years ago was God, you know. And it was like, you know, my normal response would be to, oh, I can't think that, you know, that's just a trick. But it's like to let myself, to go ahead and do what you're talking about and go ahead and say, yeah, you know, I'm not going in that damn vineyard, you know, or whatever. And then the life just rushes in, but you don't believe that it will. You know, it happened two or three different. It's like just sticking your foot in the big pool, you know, and jerking it back out again.
But that same kind of thing happens in relationships, in marriages, in friendships, in relationships. Bloom and I have been through this so many times, you know. Okay, I'm not going to walk in here. I'm not going to play in your vineyard, John, you dumb fuck. Or he said, and we don't. And then, you know, a week later, or some time later, then everything's cool. It's like nothing ever happened. And I didn't try to figure it out. Nothing ever happened. But it's more importantly, it happens that's what takes place between you and God. I don't care if you don't believe. Just say it. Don't live a lie anymore in any arena. You hate your wife? Tell her. I'm not going to play in your arena. I'm going, you know.
Ellie says to tell you that.
No, then you're playing in my arena. My arena.
And Ellie's playing in
your arena.
Out of my fucking
arena. Do you understand? I mean, it's just all we're doing is just saying what's there already. So you don't have to play the games. Don't act anymore. You know. Amen?
You said it, you said something about the evidence that you hate your family is that you withhold from them. And what we don't see is that what we withhold is the living water that flows out of us. And those people that we withhold it from are dying for one drop of that water. And without that water, they cannot approach the sacrament. And by withholding it, they don't have a chance.
The same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and blessed it, saying, Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth bread from the earth. He said, Take, eat, this is my body. Because we are eating it together, in effect, he is eating it with us. What he's saying is that as this flesh is my flesh, so now my flesh is your flesh. I mean, he is obligated to treat your flesh as his flesh.
Nice to have fresh matzo.
Good matzo.
I've been having some things happen. I'm dangling around at the end of Romans 7. All the things I try and do don't work.
type things, and all the laws, keep running into laws. And this went on for about 5 or 6 days, and finally just part of the scripture got on a loop in my head. Against such there is no law. Against such there is no law. Against love there is no law.
Amen.
You know, just getting away from the law and into love.
Amen. He took the cup. And he gave thanks. You know, when this took place, he in a very real way, he was drinking a toast to you. Because it was done at Passover, and the Passover was that which was the time of the betrothal. So he was drinking a toast to the bride, to Israel, the true Israel. But now you are the body of Christ, members in particular. And he's drinking a toast, in effect, with you to your life, which is his life. And you know, you're now divorced from the law. You're divorced from the way a thing works. You're married into mercy or to grace. No more cause and effect. That's the only thing that has kept you from being open with those, you know, instead of turning your back and just letting it happen, you don't, because you're afraid. No, you're afraid he won't be effectual. Anyway, he gave thanks, saying, "Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who createst the fruit of the vine." The fruit of the vine is the purpose of time and space. There's a lot of winos that'll agree with that. Israel is the fruit of the vine to life. Okay. Take a big guy.